Always a privilege to preach God's Word. So, so happy to be a Christian today, to know Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior, and to be associated with you good folk. We are thinking today of priorities. Where are your priorities? And I just want to pray at this time. Heavenly Father, your people are precious people. And going out among them and visiting them in their homes and talking with them and fellowshipping with them is a great privilege. You have some wonderful people. Father, we are so undeserving of your great love and your great mercy. You're such a giving and wonderful, loving God that sometimes it overwhelms me that you can put up with the likes of me. And I'm sure some of the other folks here today in our hearing feel the same way. How could you possibly put up with us? But we love you because you first loved us. Help us, Lord, to set our priorities straight. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The scripture in Philippians said, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." What do you have to go through to get to that point? How does a person come to the conclusion that to live is Christ and to die would be gain? Well, I think it comes from the fact that Paul gave his all. That when he put his life on the altar and gave his heart to Christ, it was forever. He made up his mind. Peter, James, John, all the rest of the apostles, they made up their mind they were going to follow Jesus no matter what. They had their priorities straight. All for Christ. He's Lord of all or he's not Lord of all. He's Lord of all or he's not Lord of all. Whatever. There are some problems when we make resolutions every year to do better, to improve ourselves, and we usually fail to live up to those resolutions. And when we fail, it produces feelings that are far more negative. And then if we'd never tried to lose that weight or whatever our quest was. Every time we fail, it just seems to deflate us. And even if we manage to live up to our priorities, we are still unhappy and unfulfilled. In fact, we often feel emptier in success sometimes than we do in failure. Sometimes we get pretty comfortable with failure. We just fail and fail and fail and fail and think that's the normal way to live. I know I sometimes am tempted to think that way, but I never take any longer than 15 minutes a day to feel sorry for myself. Get over it real quick. Because I have so many blessings. So many people that love me. So many people that care. And we don't even know the half of what God has done to keep us and our heads above water. God is so merciful. If you'd have suffered the things that you might have suffered had He not intervened, sometimes you might think you're pretty hard off. But when we achieve some of our dreams, sometimes we still feel empty, and then what? You know why this is the case. It's because we usually arrange our lives around things that only medicate us. And that's how we need to think about it. When you have a cold, what do? Take a pill. Take cough syrup for the cough, which antihistamine for the runny nose, and take a pain reliever for the body. And some of these pharmaceutical companies have gotten smart, and they put them all in one pill. Three remedies in one drug, so we take it all at once. Now let me ask you a question. When you have a bad cold and you take the drug, does it make you feel better? Usually. It does for me. Sometimes I even start to think, you know, I think I'm beating this thing. Getting better. Think I'm getting well, and then I don't take the drug at the regularly scheduled time, and guess what happens? Oh, you feel terrible again. Why? Because these remedies don't cure. They only alleviate the symptoms. and they just make you feel better for a short time. There's no lasting cure. It's only a temporary fix. You take fixes all the time. Not just the drug addicts. We all do it. This is characteristic of life in general. We're all suffering from a potentially fatal disease. It's called sin. Leaves us feeling empty and alone and unhappy, and people in general, all around us, they do all kinds of things to get rid of that empty feeling. We see them smoking, drinking, dieting, looking for ways to make more money. Some of them leave their spouses for somebody else. Shop for new clothes, new cars. Now they've got to have it. Got to have this, got to have that. Switch jobs and careers. All in the name of finding ourselves. Well, where are you looking? You're right here. You don't have to go over there to find yourself. You're right here. But we think we got to do these things to make us feel better for a short time. But that happiness does not last. None of it provides lasting or sustained fulfillment. The truth is that this life is just the appetizer for eternity. You get that? Jesus made this very clear in John 14. His followers were looking for him to set up his kingdom on earth. They thought that the Messiah would overthrow the Romans. A lot of people are expecting Jesus to come and overthrow the United States government because it's getting just very Roman these days. You know, Rome fell because it became a welfare state, and they had all these entertainments, and everybody spent all their time at entertainments and at the Colosseum, and they just had to get, they got more and more bloodthirsty and lazier, and the emperor would parade through the Rome and throw money at them. And that seems to be the solution that they have around here, is that if you got a problem, throw money at it. Money's not our problem. It's our attitude that's the problem. All their hopes and dreams down the drain. Jesus died on the cross. They didn't expect that. They didn't want that. Peter rebuked Jesus and said, no, 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 no. And Jesus said, get behind me, Satan. Because God's priority is people. And putting up a new church without people in it is putting the cart before the horse. When we begin to fellowship one with another and visit one another and talk to one another and love one another and do the things that Jesus wanted us to do, serve one another and help each other, and encourage one another. That's community. This church is a community within a community, and when it pulls together, it will work. And seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. If you love Jesus, and you love your brother and your sister as yourself, and you even love your enemy, and you begin to develop a social conscience, shall we say, and begin to realize that you matter. I matter. And to feel a part of something, you've got to feel a part of something. You've got to feel like you belong, that this is where you need to be, and that you want others to have this wonderful experience that you have. And do you have that wonderful experience? That's a personal relationship with Jesus Christ that transforms your life and gets you ready for heaven. That is a priority. Let's put the cart and the horse in right perspective. You need me. I need you. We need each other. We don't need a building, an empty building, to fill up. We need empty hearts to be filled with the Holy Spirit and the love of Jesus. This is a priority. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Jesus said, don't let your hearts be troubled. Believe in me. I'm going to prepare for you a place in my Father's house. You will live with me there. And that's where eternal happiness and fulfillment can be found. It's not here. It's there. The goal is not this world. It's the next one. Yes, it is. Paul said this truth over and over again. Paul says he lost everything. He lost everything. And if you know anything about the life of Paul, you know he is not exaggerating. He lost family, career, home, health, respect, and finances. He lost it all. Paul was a social outcast. Are you willing to be a social outcast for Jesus? Well, you are. How many people love this church? We do, but they don't. You see, we are social outcasts. We are on the fringes, as they say, of Orthodox Christianity. Well, we are Orthodox Christianity, whether the world believes us or not. This is the truth. What we preach here is the truth, and the world can think that we are. They're going to think that anyway. I don't care what the world thinks. Yes, I do, but I don't. I care what they think in the fact that I am going to conduct myself in Christ-like manner, and if they still don't like me, they still don't like me. But we've got to have our priorities straightened out. So we fix our lives on what is unseen, not on what is seen. What is seen is temporary. What is unseen is eternal. Oh, yes. Paul knew and understand what we must grasp. When we dedicate ourselves to living for Christ, then all wonderful things begin to happen to us. When our focus becomes living for Christ and living for others, giving of ourselves to lead others to Jesus, that's life, that's true happiness, and that's fulfillment. Did I say anything about money? I didn't, did I? And I'm not going to. When we give of ourselves, life takes on a new purpose. We have something far bigger to anchor our lives to than just the gratification of our own personal desires. When you and I keep our earthly life in perspective, then we can find true happiness and joy. Life has meaning and purpose. Most people, this world is all they get. So they pour all of their energy into amassing more stuff, collecting things that they hope will bring them happiness. The new car, or the new house, or things to fill the new car and the new house. Now, none of this is wrong in and of itself, but if that's where your priorities are, that's what you're looking to find happiness in, you will be very, very disappointed. The only lasting happiness is found in giving. Giving. You know, I read that 95% of the young women in Japan own a little purse made by a fellow by the name of Louis Vuitton. It used to be that the very wealthy could afford some of these accessories. Now it seems that everybody is trying to purchase them, and you know who's upset about it? The very wealthy. Oh yeah, they're losing their status symbols. Oh yeah. The same article said that the wealthy have only one thing now that sets them apart. Benevolence. Do you know what that means? Giving. The only thing they feel that they can do is that the lower classes cannot do, and that's to give their money away. So a lot of the very wealthy, as a status symbol, are giving their money away. You can't believe what wonderful status that is, giving your money away, setting up trust funds, Bill Gates and all this, set up these, he's going to liquidate his estate before he dies. Well, when he dies, he won't care. But he's getting rid of his great wealth by setting the Bill Gates trust fund. And it's very trendy for wealthy people to do that, because there's nothing that the common people can't have. If you can't afford the very most expensive thing, you can get something that is a facsimile that looks like it. You see? So there's no status symbols anymore. And that's what Jesus tried to tell the young ruler who came to them. He says, give it all away and follow me. Give it all away and follow me. Jesus wants you. He wants to possess you. He wants you to possess him. He wants you to give it all to him, and all the things that we need, like a new church or whatever, will be added to us as we bring people together into community, loving them, caring for them, and meeting their spiritual needs. All these things will be added to us. Money's not our problem. It isn't. Give it all away and follow me. And also, Abraham, what did he have to give away? What outrageous thing did Abraham have to do? Offer up your son. How precious could that be to take your son and sacrifice him on an altar? But he did it. Now, why does Christ say, give it all away and follow me? Surely He jests. No, he's not. You see, you just need to be willing to do that. Because for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. So what I am, what I have, belongs to Jesus. You know, so many people are looking for meaning. They are desperate to find something outside themselves that will give credence to their existence. America is in an existential crisis. Who are we? What difference is our life going to make? What difference is your life going to make? You know what the problem is? Most of us treat this world as the main event, when it's not the main event. If this life is all there is, then that does create an existential crisis. But when you realize that eternity in heaven with our Creator is the main event, that preparing for that and leading others toward it is the main event, the priority, then there is no existential crisis. Then life is meaningful. Colossians 3 and 23, when you read that, you'll find that life takes on meaning when we connect our lives with God, when we prioritize what's important to Him. Life is not about the moment, it's about the eternal. Paul understood this. Peter understood this. John understood this. That's why they could rejoice and remain hopeful and happy even in the worst of circumstances. Did they have easy lives? When they became followers of Christ, was it all smooth sailing? The more you get closer to Christ, the worse sometimes things get. Because all hell breaks loose. You get resisted. People do not like you interfering in their lives. They want to be left alone. Most do. Now, some of them are out there wandering around lost and wishing somebody would come along and tell them the way out and show them the way. But there's a lot of people out there just say, leave me alone. Go away. But that's not our problem. Our problem is to go out and offer it and proclaim it and tell it and live it and let them do with it what they will. We'll find some of these lost sheep. They'll be so happy to come and receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior if we go looking for them. You don't have to look far. They live next door to you. They're your neighbors. They're your friends. They're the people that you work with. There is your mission field. Okay. When we look at this world as the fulfillment of all, then everything becomes meaningless. Like chasing after the wind. Did you ever chase the wind? When you're a child, you do. You run around and you run around, and there's no purpose to it. You just like running around. It's just fun to expend energy. But when you get older and older, you realize that your energy is a precious commodity that you don't always have an abundance of. The older you get, the more you understand what I'm saying. Sometimes it does you good just to get out of bed. And if you can get outside, that's even better. And if you can be somewhere else, that's even greater. While we have the resources, let's use them wisely. The pain of living without purpose can be excruciating. When we're living without purpose, we are forced to try to medicate the pain. Epicurus, a Greek philosopher, had this philosophy, and you've heard it before. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow you will die. And a lot of people think like that. They mask the emptiness of this life apart from God by self-medicating, taking drugs, alcohol, doing the wrong things with people, food, work, education, the environment, whatever, you name it. People find ways to abuse it to self-medicate. It brings temporary relief, but there's no long-term joy or fulfillment. The only way to find long-term joy and fulfillment is to live according to God's purpose for your life. Now, He has a path for each of us. We are all unique. That's how He created us. But the path of God's purpose is a journey that never ends. Its fulfillment is found in living eternally with God. Eternity starts now. In a nutshell, the overriding purpose for each of us is to live this life in preparation for the next. But we can't live it in a monastic, self-perfecting style. This building is not a tomb. This building is not a place to hide away from the world. The doors of our hearts should be open to our neighbors so that they will flock here in droves to find out what makes us tick. They don't care because we don't let them know we're around. Only just beginning to visit one another is a good start. But begin to care about your neighbor. Begin to reach out and invite them. Just be a Christian at work. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. God's plan is community. And that community is this church within the overall community, a community within a community. God is calling us to live that way and to actively seek and disciple those who are outside of God's purpose that they may be included in this community. This is how we live for eternity. We need to be ready for eternity. God is calling you to help other people find the truth of His soon coming. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and 1, do you catch why Paul said we don't have to worry about being in darkness? We are the children of light. We are the children of light because we are in relationship with Jesus Christ. If you've never accepted Jesus and His plan and purpose for your life, today is the day to make that commitment. Not tomorrow. Yesterday's finished. You can't do nothing about it. Accept the eternal friendship that He is offering. Accept the fulfillment that comes from living a purpose-filled life. That's right. When you have made that commitment and you still feel empty, you still feel that you are living your life according to the world's priorities, today is to change your priorities. You know, maybe you've given your heart to Jesus, but you really haven't found your way yet as to how to live this Christian life. You need to set your priorities, and today is when you can refresh your commitment to God again. Choose today to live according to His priorities. Accept His Lordship as well as His salvation. You know, if He's your Savior, He's your Lord. It's not you do one and you do the other. They come together in one shot. When you give your heart to Jesus, He's your Lord. Begin to treat Him that way. You have to do it. Nobody can accept Jesus for you. You have to accept Him for yourself. Just choose it and take heart. Because He knows your heart. He knows you. He's got a plan for you and a plan for this community. If you believe He has a plan for your life and you believe He has a plan for this community, then we must make the commitment of managing our God-given resources in harmony with that plan. We all got to come together in unity on that one thing, to win souls for Jesus. Not natural for us to do this. It's more natural for us to put the cart before the horse and try to raise money. Because that's what we do in our regular life. Let's raise some money and then we'll put up a church and then people will come. No, they won't. And you'll frustrate a lot of people because some people think that that's all you want is money, money, money. You know, all I'm good for is money. Nobody comes to bother with me except they want money. And how true could that be? We're not asking for money. We're asking for committed lives to Christ. Seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added. Is it easier or is it better to employ one man or to do the work of 12 or to employ 12 people? It's far better to employ 12 people because each of us working together can do more than just laying the load upon a few souls and saying, please. No. Let's all work together doing what we can do, using the talents that God has given us to further the kingdom of God. How do you further the kingdom of God? You don't build buildings. You build lives. You build people. You show people that you care. You build them up in the whole of the coming of the Lord, that He's going to come and we're going to live in eternity forever together in a community called the New Jerusalem. Oh, money's not our problem. You believe He has a plan for your life and a plan for this community, then we must make the commitment of managing our God-given resources in harmony with the plan. Let me continue with this. Manage your moments for God's glory. How are you using those moments? How are you using your time? Does it mean we spend all our time in church? No. Church is a highlight, a moment to reorient our lives and prepare us to live out our week of work in a way that is God-honoring and in harmony with His plan. That's what church is for. We just come together to be together. That's why we're here, to get strength for one another, to build up each other. Some of us have a problem, the whole body gets together and tries to fix the problem. Someone has a need, we make need because we look after each other, because we care, because we're a family, we're a community in a community. Do we quit work to devote all our time to Bible study? No. You live your life so that God is glorified. Be the best employee or employer you can be. Be honest, hardworking, and always willing to share your faith with others. Oh yes. That's how we live a life that is God-honoring. That's how we use our time to glorify God. And if you use your time wisely, then you will spend it getting to know God. You will devote some time to Bible study and prayer. Manage your abilities to God's glory. You can use who you are to bring glory to God. You don't have to be anybody else. You don't have to look like anybody else. You don't have to imitate anybody else. You be you, and you can do great things for God. Use your gifts and your talents to make a difference in your world. And manage your God-given resources to God's glory. Everything's His. Too often, I think of everything that God has given me as mine, when in fact He has just asked me to care for what is really His and use it in a way that glorifies Him. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 6:21. Where your heart is, there your treasure is. You can use your resources in two ways. You can use it on yourself, satisfying all your desires, which will give you temporary high or a fix. Or you can invest your whole life and all that you have in eternity. Give to help people, to share truth, and to change lives. Not to build a building. That's the least of our priorities. If your priority is if we could fill this place to overflowing, then we would need a building and it would just flow naturally. As long as I see empty seats, I see we're not ready for a new church. When this place is filled and we've got to put seats in the aisle and more people are participating, then the church will follow. We have dedicated ourselves and our talents to God. All that we have is His. Whatever He asks for us to do, we will do. Here are His priorities, and here are our priorities, to be in right standing with God, to be reconciled to each other, to teach and preach and live the Christian way, and to dedicate all that we have to Him, shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You that Your priority was human lives and salvation and bringing us back into right relation with the Father. And so much it was a priority that You laid down Your life so that we might have eternal life. You lived for us and died for us so that we could live and die for You. So that for us to live is Christ and to die is gain. We ask now, Lord, that if each one of us would rededicate their lives, their resources, everything they are to You, but that we would also have Your priorities in heart, that we would begin to love and care for one another so much that people would see Your glory in us. and all these things shall be added unto us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And shall we sing, He Lives, 250.